Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Piñatas, piñateras and piñateros is part of the piñata exhibit, which is open at the National Hispanic Cultural Center with local piñateras and piñateros. Today we have in Espejos de Aztlán an interview with Visual Arts Program Director of the National Hispanic Cultural Center, Dr. Tay Mariana Nan. Piñateras y piñateros son los artistas que tienen su lugar especial en esta exposición en el Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana de Piñata Exhibit. Está abierta hasta el día 7 de enero del año próximo y tiene como sus principales tópicos, pues obviamente las piñatas de cumpleaños, las piñatas políticas, las piñatas nuevo mexicanas. En esta entrevista con la doctora Tay Mariana Nan del Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana, que es la directora y la curadora de esta exposición y la curadora del Museo de Arte del Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana, nos cuenta qué es lo que la inspiró para comenzar esta exposición, así como los principales tópicos que son parte de esta exposición. We are with Dr. Tay Mariana Nan, director and chief curator of the Art Museum and the curator of this Piñata exhibit, the Piñata exhibit. Welcome to our show, Tay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I had the chance to go to the Piñata exhibit at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, just opened very recently. This feeling of fun atmosphere, fiesta atmosphere that you were able to create in that environment. What did inspire you to do a Piñata exhibit? It's something that comes, I don't know, from your childhood, from your own personal life. That is linked to the piñatas?
I think it does. I've always loved piñatas. I've always thought that they were magical. And for my birthdays, my abuelita, I called her Buta, she would make piñatas for my birthday. And also in my visits to Mexico, where I have a lot of family, from the earliest moments, I remember being in the Mexican markets, in the mercados, and walking among the piñatas and watching them sway and looking at the colors and looking at the shiny ones especially, and just that feeling of walking in the market and seeing all of these piñatas hanging way above you, you know. And I also think when you ask that question, I think about this little red foil piñata that I bought in Valle de Bravo, Mexico, around Christmas time, New Year's time, probably when I was about 9, a little one made out of a clay jar, the way they used to be made, red foil with tassels. And I think I still have it somewhere.
Did somebody make for you piñatas sometime?
Yes.
When?
Yep.
What were the celebrations you used to have them?
My birthdays.
Your birthday?
My birthdays, yeah. Always my birthdays. And my grandmother would make them different shapes. She would also make our party hats. So I remember that really well. And then, you know, I think that's always been with me. I think I've always wanted to do a piñata exhibit. But there were a couple of things that started the idea for the show at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. One was that I found out last summer, I think, almost a year ago, I walked into an antique shop in Santa Fe, and there was this beautiful vintage piñata from the 1930s, or that we found out about the 1930s, of a China poblana. She's very faded, but she's made out of an olla, out of a jarro, with 1930s Spanish newspaper around her
at
the bottom. And she had this mask. She had a rebozo with little tissue paper dots and her China poblana outfit with the Mexican eagle on it. And but she had this mask, this paper mache mask, and I had never seen that on a piñata before. I'd never seen that in any historical photos. I did not know what that was about, but I really obsessed about that piñata. And at the same time, we had colleagues from the National Museum of Mexican Art who we love to work with there in Chicago. And they were here helping us install an exhibit based on Sandra Cisneros' house on Mango Street. And we were driving around Albuquerque doing a Breaking Bad tour because they love Breaking Bad. And Raquel Aguinaga Martinez and Juan both mentioned to me that we still have, they were amazed that we still had piñateros in piñata shops, piñata makers
in
Albuquerque, because in Pilsen, the major Mexican neighborhood in Chicago, they were all gone, and the party stores were only selling like Chinese piñatas. And so that made me really think.
Sad.
Yeah, sad.
It's sad.
Really sad. And maybe
or in
we
these
need,
big chains of right, Walmart things. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we really needed to do something, especially to highlight the artists here, but also, you know, we were able to do the whole Southwest too.
If you want to say something about the technique, something unique about this popular art, what is rooted, what are the techniques, from where would you begin to talk about that, to describe? I think that our listeners, they know what is a piñata, but what are the techniques? Where is the origin of this popular art, the artists, the topics?
From what we could find in our research, you know, there's not actually a lot written about piñatas. The origins go back far. They're probably Chinese, which is interesting now because there are a lot of piñatas coming out of China. And, you know,
but with Mexican design?
With Mexican designs. And you know that tissue paper in Spanish is papel de China. So that's an interesting sort of tie-in roundabout what's going on sort of thing. So the origins are in China. It was a spring festival with clay figures that they would fill with seeds, and they would break as sort of a, you know, for abundance of planting and agriculture. Apparently, from what we can tell, Marco Polo, when he was there, found this very fascinating and brought back some of the clay vessels to Italy. From Italy, it goes to Spain, but you have to think about the word piñata, piñole, piña.
And the letter ñ.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so there's something there about pine cone-shaped piña, pineapple shape. And so in Italy, it becomes a tradition in the 16th and 17th centuries, an elite tradition to have a clay vessel that gets broken. And so it's the elite, it's the upper classes that do this. And there it becomes a religious tradition. And there's the Sunday after Ash Wednesday is called Piñata Sunday in Spain and in Italy. So it goes to Spain, comes over to the Americas, and get sort of commingled with traditions that were already in the Aztec and Mayan cultures that were similar traditions in clay that were filled with things and then broken. We can't like pinpoint exact dates, but that seems to be the general flow of it.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, as in Italy, as in China, they were originally made with ollas, and I imagine some artists in Mexico still make them with ollas or jarros with reeds or paper around that, and then
so it's always
decorated with tissue paper.
That clay is something fragile.
Something fragile that can be broken. It's sort of symbolic to be broken. And there's lots of religious context in here too. And then nowadays they're more made out of paper mache, and every piñatero, every piñata shop and every piñatero and every piñatera has a different technique. So while they might not use jars because they're heavy and they're expensive and they can also get damaged when you hit them, when you break them, they build frames either from paper mache themselves, from a cardboard sort of skeleton for it to be decorated with paper mache. Most listeners will probably remember in school that they built one around a balloon. So you take a balloon and then you dip newspaper in like a starch and a water mixture and form your piñata that way. There's lots of different ways to make them. And I think what's interesting is that they're all made out of very accessible materials, materials that you can recycle, materials that, you know, are around the house. And then, you know, and then they get decorated. The forms all mean something, you know, that the popular culture forms are really big right now. Emojis are really big, but probably we think of the donkey piñatas and the star piñatas from Mexico. And you know, the donkeys are a pretty traditional shape, but they originally represented the donkey that Mary and Joseph went to Belen.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And then the stars, which are part of the posadas in Mexico, not so much in New Mexico, but in Mexico, part of the posada tradition before Christmas, the posadas usually end in a piñata party, especially for the kids. And for instance, the 7-pointed star con siete picos represents the 7 deadly sins. So by breaking it, you are free.
I like that therapy.
So isn't that, I know. There's going to be a lot of that.
Can you add in your educational program
some therapy?
Piñata,
absolutely.
Piñata therapy.
I think that's a good idea. I'm writing that down right now.
Piñata
and
therapy.
You will be the co-host. I like that a lot. So there's so much more to piñatas than we think. You know, they're really, really, really important art forms.
Listen now to local piñatero Francisco Rodríguez from the Casa de Piñatas. Vamos a escuchar el testimonio de Francisco Rodríguez de la Casa de Piñatas, uno de los piñateros locales que todavía hacen las piñatas en Nuevo México. Estamos con Francisco Rodríguez de la Casa de Piñatas y quisiéramos saber cómo es que Francisco, y que es uno de los expositores de la exhibición Piñatas, Piñateras y Piñateros en el Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana, ¿cómo es que comenzó a hacer piñatas?
De niño, jugando, mirando en el taller de mi papá.
¿Y su papá cómo aprendió?
Por un tío. El hermano mayor lo enseñó a él. Y es toda la familia. Toda la familia hacían piñatas.
¿Fue una manera de sostener la familia?
Oh, sí. Era muy diferente en aquellos tiempos a los de ahora. Para la familia, salir adelante todos.
¿Y en los cumpleaños de ustedes, de sus familias o sus celebraciones, cuáles eran las piñatas que ustedes construían para vuestros propios cumpleaños o celebraciones, matrimonios o lo que fuera?
No, pues nomás entrábamos al cuarto y agarrábamos las que nos gustara.
Eso había, sí que bonito.
Había demasiadas.
¿Y cuál fue su favorita?
El toro, como lo digo. Siempre a mí me ha gustado el toro. O sea, fue como aprendí.
Este toro que está en la exhibición, que se lo llama el toro azul. ¿Cómo es que le inspiró a hacer el toro azul? Y después creo que hay un toro, como un toro y un pavo, las dos cosas juntas.
Es un elefante pavo. Eso lo hicimos para la política, el pavo y el elefante.
¿Y qué colores eligió para esa?
Los colores de la bandera, son los colores tradicionales de la bandera y se miró bonito.
¿Las piñatas en qué momentos la gente la usa en especial?
Todos los tiempos, hasta para los divorcios.
¿Cómo es eso que hay una piñata para un divorcio?
Celebrar, la fiesta es celebrar. Un divorcio hay que celebrarlo también.
¿Con qué se celebra? ¿Cuál es la forma de la piñata que se va a pedir para un divorcio?
No, depende cómo se hayan portado los dos. ¿Entiende? Depende cómo ellos se hayan portado y cómo ellos se quieren acordar de la persona.
¿Hay algún tema político que se ha solicitado? Porque vi que en la exhibición hay también temas políticos ahí dando vuelta. ¿Acá piden piñatas políticas?
Al señor este que tenemos ahorita, es la primera vez que me piden hacerlo.
¿Fácil de hacer este señor este que le piden en este tiempo político?
No, es una piñata que se hace con... no se hace con gusto. Todo se tiene que hacer con gusto.
¿Cuándo fue la primera vez que usted celebró con una piñata?
Yo nací entre piñatas. Para los cumpleaños, ¿entiende? Es para los cumpleaños lo que se usa más. Para las fiestas, tener la familia junta. Es lo que es una piñata. Una fiesta.
¿Y qué es lo que se coloca dentro de las piñatas?
Hay variedad de dulces que se le pone. Si quiere hacer un chiste fuerte, le puede poner harina y huevos. Pero hay muchas formas de festejar. Pero o sea, lo tradicional son los dulces.
¿Podría decirnos, Francisco, cuál es el motivo por el cual una de las piñatas más populares tiene como una forma de estrella? ¿Cómo empezaron estas formas de estrellas?
Es la piñata tradicional, lo básico, lo como empezó todo, que era el jarro con los 5 conos. Y ya de ahí se le fue pegando otras ideas y otras ideas y otras ideas. Lo más clásico, lo más original es el toro, el burro, el elefante, el cactus y el mexicano. Son las piñatas tradicionales, las originales.
E inicialmente, ¿por qué? ¿Cuántas tenían? Usted me estaba diciendo que era como una olla y después se le fueron agregando como 3 conos y después más. ¿Cómo es que cómo empezó eso?
La primera estrella era de 5 conos, era la que traía la olla. Ya después ahí se le fueron poniendo más conos, según si era para Navidad, se hacía la estrella diferente, si es para una posada, se le ponen los 7 picos, y son diferentes estrellas, son muchas.
¿Y cuál es su tema preferido?
Hacer reír los niños.
Muchas gracias, Francisco.
With Visual Arts Program Director from the National Hispanic Cultural Center, el Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana, Dr. Tay Mariana Nan, who is the Director and Chief Curator of the Art Museum, also the Curator of the Piñata Exhibit. What's unique or what's the particular things that we can highlight in the Southwest and New Mexico regarding piñatas?
You know, the exhibit has a whole section called Piñatas New Mexican Style.
I saw some big chiles there.
Yes, there's big chiles, and we'll be adding. We have a red and a green chile to be, you know, equal, to represent the whole state. We also have these 3 fabulous piñatas that were commissioned by Maria Teresa Marquez, former professor at UNM, who commissioned Francisco Rodriguez and his mother Isabel, the owners of Casa de Piñatas, and led to make 3 characters from Rudolfo Anaya's Bless Me Ultima. So we have Ultima, and we have the golden carp, and we have the owl, and we're very excited because next year we're going to be doing an opera at the NHCC of Bless Me Ultima with an exhibit. So these 3 works will carry over into our Bless Me Ultima exhibit too. But those were a special commission, and I think Mr. Rodriguez is very proud of the golden carp. He really loves the fact. He had never made those figures, but, you know, challenging a piñata artist to do something different. We have a number along with the chiles. We have this great 1959 photograph that we found here in the UNM, at the UNM Library Archives. Dr. Suzanne Schladel found it for us, of the 1959 groundbreaking of the sub of the Student Union building. And they were breaking a piñata of the model of the sub, which, if you think about it, it's a little complicated, but yeah. It was funny that they were using that in 1959.
Yeah, and they probably asked it.
They probably, yes. And then we have a bunch of Zozobra piñatas. So if you're familiar with Zozobra and Santa Fe fiestas, they have made piñatas over the years, which is interesting because Zozobra himself is this huge effigy that gets stuffed. The same day I found the China Poblana, the vintage China Poblana piñata, I was talking to the owner of the antique shop, who happened to have this collection, and took me into the back room and had this collection of vintage Zozobra piñata. So that's one of those aha moments where you're like, maybe we'll be able to find enough things to do an exhibit. But they're really cool looking, and we have them all. So that's, you know, that's a very unique New Mexican piñata.
You were saying that we have like living treasures in our area. Mm-hmm. Who are the artists that are around?
The 2 that I know of for sure are the owners of the Piñata Party, which is on San Mateo between Lomas and Central. And that is Tobias Justo Trinidad and his wife Africa and his son David. And they make wonderful piñatas. You'll see their tent outside. We commissioned a number of piñatas for them, including the chiles. So the chiles were from them. And then Francisco Rodriguez and his mother Isabel on Casa de Piñatas on Lead near the university. They make their own piñatas, and both these families come from generations of piñata makers, and they make their own piñatas too. And, you know, either one of these stores will make a custom piñata. The piñateros can make anything, and they can react to any, you know, trends in popular culture. You will also find a lot of beautiful piñatas in the dulcerías around town. So there's Caramelo Dulceria on Bridge. There's Dulceria Puebla up on Central. Find them at the Fruit Basket on 4th, and there are a number of dulcerias in Santa Fe, Dulceria Chihuahua in Santa Fe, that get piñatas directly from piñata makers in Juarez. They're elaborate, they're beautiful, and any piñata shop will take special orders and do it in about a week or 2 weeks. So,
is only birthdays that we use piñatas? What other occasions do we have to use a piñata?
That's been one of the really interesting things to
I heard something. Let me know
out.
You.
In Mexico, the birthdays and Christmas are the most popular piñata holidays. In the United States, it's Halloween, Halloween is the most piñata, most popular piñata holiday. And spring in the Southwest, piñatas in the spring, which is sort of a carryover from that piñata Sunday European traditions. And maybe not so much in New Mexico, but in Arizona, Easter is a very big holiday. Arizona also is one of the tradition bearers still of cascarones. And, you know, if you know what cascarones are, they're confetti-filled eggs that are used in San Antonio, Texas for the fiestas and in Tucson during the spring. And we also historically have had a baile de cascarones sponsored by the Sociedad Folclórica up in Santa Fe. And so those all tie in with piñatas and the spring and that idea of piñata Sunday, the day after Ash Wednesday. So they're like mini, mini piñata. And of course, there are political piñatas.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens almost every election, both in Mexico and in the United States. And I also hear there are El Chapo piñatas, but we weren't been able to find the cartel leader from Sinaloa. So, you know, you could do political figures for certain things. There are quinceañera piñatas.
You have a special chapter in the exhibit about political figures as well, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What are the figures that you have there?
That was an interesting. It started out with finding out about this exhibit that had been done in San Francisco by two artists who did a piñata wall, a piñata border wall. And the border wall was destroyed at the end of the exhibit. And looking at how contemporary artists are using piñatas, because we also have a lot of contemporary artists in the exhibit. And then, you know, there was so much in the news about Trump piñatas. I mean, it really became a very popular thing, and we could not ignore that in the exhibit. So we have a Trump piñata. We have a Hillary Clinton piñata. We have a political piñata that Mr. Rodriguez made. We have a mini wall piñata. There's this wonderful film called La Madre Buena. It's a Mexican film. We have a film clip of, and you can also look it up on YouTube. It's an award-winning short film about a mother who's son in Mexico wants a Trump piñata, and she says, you know, don't you want Superman? Don't you want Batman? And he says, no, I want a Trump piñata. And she does not know what to do, but she becomes La Madre Buena because she buys him, her son, a Trump piñata. That's that, you know, showing her love. And so, you know, the piñateros are always making commentary on trends and popular culture. And so, you know, the Donald Trump piñatas have been really, really popular. But Obama piñatas have been made. Bernie Sanders piñatas have been made. Hillary Clinton piñatas. We couldn't find any. Osama bin Laden piñatas have been made. And so we do, but we do have one Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. piñata we found in Los Angeles. But piñata shops are doing very well with Donald Trump piñata.
I heard some might be part of the workshop of therapy.
Tal vez.
Tal vez. And I also heard that for divorces are used.
Yes, I
so
heard for
you
divorces?
Can also add that for my piñata therapy workshop.
Yeah. Divorces are used, and also, weirdly, for bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. So I don't know what to say about that.
We are with the Visual Arts Program Director from the National Hispanic Cultural Center del Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana, la doctora Tei Mariana Nan, y estamos hablando sobre la exposición sobre las piñatas como arte, como cultura, como terapia,
sí.
Pero especialmente como celebración. If I just want to do something at home with my children or just having fun with my friends to make or my own piñata or my own cascarones or whatever, is there just to tell us a very simple way to do something close to this? I know this is an art. It takes hours of work and techniques from generations, but this is a popular art. So I guess we can do something at home. If I would like to do something at home, or a listener wants to do something at home, can you suggest us something?
First of all, yes, you can do something at home and you could probably have all the materials right now. The materials that piñateros use are very, very accessible materials like, you know, cardboard and newspaper. And we will be doing a lot of workshops and programming with artists at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. So if you check our website in the next couple of weeks, we will have that all listed because the exhibit runs through January of 2018. And we're planning lots of great stuff. We got a special grant to support artists. But I think the easiest thing to do is either take a paper bag or take a balloon and mix a little bit of starch and water, flour and water, and then you take your newspaper or whatever paper you have and you dip that in that because that softens it to be able to shape around something. Some piñateros take that and do a couple of layers of newspaper and dry it out in the sun so that then they can form things so it becomes a little stiffer. So it just depends on how you want to use it. Once you form it, you know, the starch and water will help things stick. And then you have to let it dry. And most piñateros would tell you to dry it in the sun for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Yes, and here is perfect. You know, most piñatas take 4 or 5 days to make from beginning to end. And then you decorate it. You could decorate it with papel de china, the tissue paper.
Sí, así lo llamaba cuando era pequeña.
Or construction paper or anything you have. You know, we have Goldie Garcia, who's an artist here in Albuquerque, and Lita Sandoval both did contemporary piñatas out of different things for the show. And we also have a mini piñata maker. He's the little piñata maker from Berkeley who has a whole installation of mini piñatas. So piñatas don't have to be huge. They can be mini. And he started that by wanting to have a little piñata hanging off of his rearview mirror in his car. So they come in all shapes. And it's really fun because I think everybody likes it, from children to adults. You know, we're seeing a lot of, like, smiles and happiness in the exhibit. And I think that's something we all need right now.
Yes, absolutely. We need to laugh.
Along with therapy.
Yes. Laugh therapy with piñata.
Yes, there you go.
I can give you also the description of the workshop.
we're getting you involved, my dear.
So, and especially, what do you put inside the piñata?
You can put all sorts of things inside the piñata. I mean, you know, candy is traditional, fruits, little gifts. You could do all little things of miniatures of alcohol bottles. I've heard it all. So there, that's part of the piñata therapy again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tei Mariana Nan from the Centro Nacional de Cultura Hispana. And thank you for this inspiration to organize a piñata exhibit to give value, because this is also a way of giving value to popular culture and to popular art.
It is, and we don't want this art form to disappear. So please support your local piñateros and piñateras.
Thank you so much.
¿Hacer reír los niños? 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 ¿Están ahí los niños? ¿Están ahí los niños? ¿Están ahí los niños?